In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus is risen. Let us turn then to find out what this means from one of the very earliest sources. But let us turn to a man who was a skeptic, an unbeliever, to one who rejected Christianity completely and absolutely. For so was the man that we now know as St. Paul. So he was before he saw with his own eyes our risen Savior. He writes to the Corinthians, and that's our text today, the epistle lesson read earlier. He writes to the Corinthians in chapter 15, "If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Think of it. All the jelly beans, all the fake grass, all the baskets, all the Easter bunny, all the instruments, all the flowers, all the wonderful pyramids, all the music. It's all a waste. If we have hope in this life only, it's all a waste if Christ is not risen. More than that, think of all the countless hours you've spent on Sunday mornings, wasting your time. Think of us poor pastors who waste our entire lives. Indeed, at the end, we're found only to have misled people. Yes, we are most to be pitied if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if Christ is not raised from the dead. And it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? Because your life as Christians is cross-shaped, cruciform. Ours is a life shaped by death and resurrection, by repentance and forgiveness, by countless many deaths and many resurrections. Our lives are cruciform, that is to say, they're lived not for ourselves, but we use our lives and pour them out for the sake of others, just as our Lord Jesus poured out his life for our sake. If in this life only we have hope, then we are the biggest losers if Christ has not been raised from the dead. But, St. Paul writes, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, literally, physically. It's true, and it changes everything. It did for St. Paul, and it has for countless Christians who have come before us, and it does for us as well. Christ is risen. This life is not all there is. Death is undone. So Paul writes, "The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," referring to Christ. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits from the field, that which springs up out of the ground. He is risen, sprung up out of the ground, out of the tomb. And you can even hear it in the language of the first fruits. If there's a first fruit, there must be second, third, fourth fruit. Some of you fruitier than others. But fruits to follow. Just as he is risen, we too shall rise. Because in fact, Christ is risen. Now, if Christ is risen, death is undone. If Christ is risen, death is transformed. Look what Paul says. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's all that death is. That's all that death is on account of Christ Jesus. He died, and he had the power to take his life back up again. He who takes his life back up again can say, "You, rise," and you will. "Lazarus, come forth," and he did from his tomb. For him, death is only sleep. It has been transformed. So the very worst thing that someone can do to you in this life, this fallen world's greatest power, has been rendered impotent. Nothing to be afraid of at all. Merely sleep, from which you can easily be awoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is risen, we fear death as little as we fear our own beds. He raises us every morning. He will raise us on the last day. Now that makes Christians a rowdy bunch. It's hard to control people who aren't afraid of death. The world's governments have found that to be true for 2,000 years. When you can't be cowed by death, you can't be cowed by anything. Christ is risen. We are fearless and free. In verse 22, Paul takes us all the way back to the beginning and has us see the whole scope of human history. He writes, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." The wages of sin is death. Adam sinned and brought death to our entire race. Each one of us will die. That's not religion. That's a fact. Christ is risen. We shall rise. By one man, death came into the world. By another man, our Lord Jesus Christ, came the resurrection from death. One can almost see here two different worlds. We are all born of Adam. We shall all die, and that would be the end of the story if Christ is not risen. But He is risen. And so death is no more an end, but a sleep from which we rise. And again, that changes everything. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ." That is why we celebrate. That is why we rejoice. He has won the victory, and the next thing we're waiting for is Him to return. And at the moment of His return, the graves will open. Have you ever been to a cemetery and looked out? They hide them in Orange County. You can't find them. We don't like to deal with death. We don't like to deal with reality. We like to deal with success. That's it. Doesn't get you very far. Gets you a few years, a few decades, and then you've got to face death. Despite Orange County's hiding our cemeteries from us, if you've been and you've looked out and you see all the beds, it looks like a blanket, it looks like a quilt covering the ground. When our Lord Jesus returns, so great is His power over death that that quilt rolls back and every son and daughter rises and stands, literally, physically, truly, just as He is risen. Then comes the end, when He, that is Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Think of it. No more Democrats. No more Republicans. No more independents. No more any parties or splits. No more fallen governments trying to tyrannize fallen men. All of it gone. But even more deeply, the power and authority of sin undone. For your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world were laid upon Him. And the atonement was made and was valid and pleased God. And so God raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. He is raised for our justification. The power, the authority of Satan, the god of this world, undone. For the true God has come. The true King has returned. So He returns. He raises us from our graves, and He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, all things subject to Him. And in verse 25, Paul says, "For He, that is Christ, must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet." He must reign, which means He's reigning even now. He's reigning as Christ, the crucified one, who though he was crucified, now stands, crowned in thorns. He reigns as a merciful king, as a king who calls sinners to himself, that each and every one might be washed clean by his holy blood, that each and every heart might be washed clean by the word of his holy absolution. You are forgiven. He reigns and he must reign until all enemies are put under his feet. Human feet. God's feet, to be sure, but they are God's feet wrapped in human flesh, which means this victory of his is ours. And it means this, that all our enemies will then be under our feet. All that you now count as weakness will then be counted unto you as strength. Because Christ is risen, the addict in this life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, overcomes his addiction and he's victorious. Or, because Christ is risen, the addict in this life does not overcome his addiction except through faith in Christ. And on the last day, he stands victorious over that sin as well. So our weaknesses become our strengths, and our scars become our trophies and our laughter comes about from the tears. All is transformed. All is made new. Paul finishes with these words. Eschatos, ekthros, katargete, hathanatos. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Marvel of all marvels, marvel of all marvels. In the beginning, God said to man, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Who sent death? God. Death was God's ally and just vindicator and punisher of we sinners. You can find verses where God calls death and says, go get him. But he sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, born as we are, born under the law, and laid on him the iniquity of us all, so that now in Christ, death has become God's enemy. Death has become God's enemy, something he takes personally. He will wrench each and every one of us from the cold grip of death's fingers. Indeed, that is what Easter is all about. Up until Christ, death had a pretty good record of holding people in its grip. But with Christ, one has slipped through. The fingers are broken. The power is broken. We shall all come forth. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Dear Christians, dear non-Christians, in whatever place you come to here in this sanctuary, in your own emotions, in your own heart, in your own soul, know that Christ is risen for you. If you feel guilty, if your conscience is weighed down, if you have done more failing than succeeding this past Lent, these past months, these past years, this past life, Jesus is risen. And by his blood, he has blotted out every last one of your sins. Every last one has been laid on him and taken away. He is risen, and you shall rise. Or maybe you come discontent, grumbling. Jesus is risen. And these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. Or maybe you come unhappy and unfulfilled. Jesus is risen, and he is our fulfillment. Indeed, if God gave his own beloved Son, how will he not also give us and fill us with all good things? Maybe you come mourning the loss of those who are not with us today. Jesus is risen, and they are safe with him. And on the last day, they will rise with us all. Maybe you come this morning wrestling with the meaninglessness of life and the futility of the Orange County grind. Jesus is risen. He is our meaning. And with his resurrection, he changes everything. He opens wide a future and sets us free. Free from what? We no longer have to win at everything. We no longer have to succeed at everything. We no longer have to grasp hold of all the scraps of this poor, miserable life as if this were all we had. Because Jesus is risen. It's all blown wide open. In fact, as he says, the one who seeks to gain his life ends up losing it. And the one who loses his life for my sake finds it. Do not despair. Only believe. Jesus is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.